turn with me, if you would, this morning for a short time to the book of Jeremiah. Turning to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, and looking this morning at verses 18 and 19. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughters of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? And so on. Jeremiah's lament over Jerusalem. What sorrow Jeremiah had. He was the weeping prophet. What sorrow he had for the people of Jerusalem when he saw what was to come upon them. The Lord revealed to Jeremiah that there was to be a great time of grief, when they would be taken into captivity, when God's judgments would be abroad upon them, and even their graves, there would be no graves for them. The graves would be dug up. Their gods would be seen to be no gods. The valley of Hinnom would be a place where the graves were even opened and their dead bones were scattered before the sun, the moon and the stars, their gods. And there would be no place even for burying. My friend, I saw yesterday on the news, in Italy, one village alone, 60 bodies that are not able to be buried because of what is going through Europe at this time. 60 bodies that they can't even deal with. Surely we can say God's judgment is upon the nations of the world because of the sins of our nation, including our nation and all the nations. The nations that have endorsed the murder of unborn children in abortion. The nations that have endorsed immorality in same-sex marriage and all the rest of it. Surely we can see what Jeremiah saw with regards to Jerusalem is equally true of our nation and the nations of the world today. God's judgments are abroad. Now, there are three things that we want to look at with Jeremiah. Because he sees, first of all, he sees three things. How irrational man is when it comes to his dealings with God. How irrational man is. He begins that really at the beginning of this chapter when he begins to speak about what he was going to see coming upon Jerusalem. He says, if a man falls down, what does he do? He picks himself up again. We see that at the beginning of the chapter when he begins to speak in verse 4. When they fall down, do they not rise up again? It is common sense that if you fall down, you pick yourself up. That's a rational thing to do. And if you take a wrong path, then you about turn and make your way back to where you went wrong, and then you begin once again. That is the rational thing to do. Man is a rational creature. If you fall, or if you take a wrong path, then you go back to where you went wrong and put it right again. But he says, Jerusalem at this time, they're going to be like a horse that goes into battle. The horse, when it goes into battle, is ignorant of the danger that is there. The horse just careers into the midst of the battle, because that's what his master is telling him to do. But you're not like a horse. You ought not to career into the very midst of the battle as though you are ignorant of the dangers that you are going into. But They hold fast deceit and everything. They go into this as though that this horse that doesn't know what it's doing. Man himself is careering on, our nation careers on, as though it doesn't know the dangers that sin brings with it. He's saying it's like a horse that rushes into the battle, he says in verse 6. Right, and everyone turns to his course as the horse rushes into a battle. The horse is rushing in there and it's ignorant. But he's saying to God's people, and he's saying to the nation of Israel, or to Jerusalem, you're not a horse. You're not stupid. You're not to be irrational like the horse. You're to reason. And then he comes and he compares them to to the animals of the field. The stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observes the time of their coming. See, even the animals recognize and are not irrational in that respect. They know that their seasons. They can read the signs of the times. But he says in verse 7, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. He's comparing them even to the animals. The animals know the times of the seasons. That man that's made in the image of God, with a body and with a soul, he acts in a totally irrational way when it comes to his Creator. Is that not true today? And has that not been true of our nation? Has that not been true of the nations of the world? They do not see the signs of the times. They don't read what's going on. They go headlong in, ignoring what even the stork and the crane and the birds and the animals of the field, they know the times and the seasons. But man becomes totally irrational when it comes to his dealings with God. Isn't it irrational, you know, that there is a virus? Can you see a virus? Are you able to identify and see a virus? You can't see that, can you? And yet man will change his life, his living, what he does, the way he lives, because of a virus. But the Almighty God, His glory is written across the heavens. He ignores everything that God says. He ignores every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. A virus will get men to change their lives, but not God. How irrational. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. Man, as he is in sin, is absolutely and totally irrational. It's like the psalmist, isn't it? That when in the beginning of Psalm 2, the princes of the world, why rage the heathen, says the psalmist. Why rage the heathen and vain things? Why do the people mind? Princes have gathered together against the Lord and His anointed. He's saying how irrational, how stupid that is. How foolish it is for man to think that he can stand against the Lord and His anointed. How vain a thing it is for man to stand against the Lord and His anointed. Man thinks he can do everything. Man thinks he can save the world. Man thinks he can turn global warming. Man thinks he can save everything. And in a moment of time, the Lord shows what man is. One wee virus. And man is shown that he is nothing. He is nothing. And the Lord is everything. Jeremiah says here how irrational man is in his dealings in this world. Totally irrational. That even the birds of the air and the animals of the field, they recognize the different seasons, they recognize the signs of the times, but man, who is created in the image of God, lives in folly. Folly and foolishness. How irrational. But the second thing that Jeremiah brings before us is not just that how irrational man is, that there's a cause, there's a reason for it. He goes on to tell us that there is a reason for all of this. It's not just irrational, it's because man is being deceived. There is a deception. He tells us why this judgment will come upon Jerusalem. It's because they are being deceived. They've been absolutely deceived. Look at what he says in verse 9. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed, and lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? You see, they turn aside from the word of God, and they're deceived by all the false religions that are going to come into Jerusalem and into Jerusalem. They're deceived by false religion, by idolatry, by vanity. That's what's going to happen. There's a reason why this judgment was going to come upon Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem would be deceived into thinking and following after strange gods. They would say to themselves, well, we have the word of God. We have it. Yes, says Jeremiah. But do you pay heed at all to the word of God? Do you pay heed to anything of what God is going to say to you? We saw last Thursday evening when Hezekiah was told in the midst of Sennacherib, his armies coming up against Jerusalem, he takes ill. My friend, think of Isaiah coming in to Hezekiah. Hezekiah has an illness. It's probably leprosy or something like that. And what does Isaiah do? Does Isaiah come in and tell him nice, sweet things? Does he come in and does he give him nice, comforting words? My friend, Isaiah comes into Hezekiah and he says, you better get your house in order because this illness is unto death. And then he walks out the door. He tells him the truth. We're fighting today to tell people the truth. You go to funerals and they'll tell you everything but the truth. They won't tell you about sin, about hell, about judgment day. They will tell you all manner of nice things. Isaiah told Hezekiah the truth. He went in and says, get your house in order, because this illness is unto death. It's unto death. You see, what's wrong with Israel and Jerusalem, and what's wrong with our day is every single religion, false religion that comes in, they all follow after it. Even the false religion of atheism, the false religion of humanism, it's only a religion, and it's false. The false religion of Jehovah's Witnesses, of Mormons, all these false religions today, Islam, all of false religions are given open space. If people follow after all manner of things, man will believe everything. But he will reject the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that's what's wrong, isn't it? That's what's wrong today. What was wrong and what was going to be going when Jeremiah saw what was coming upon Jerusalem is exactly what has come upon our nations. Being deceived by the great deceiver himself, the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. False prophets. You look through Jeremiah. And how does he describe these false prophets? Dispensers of chaff. Empty wind. Deceitful physicians. Ruthless and selfish shepherds. Spreaders of disease. My friend, Jeremiah didn't mince his words either, did he, when it came to false religions? Jeremiah didn't mince his words when it came to what he had to say about those in Jeremiah's day, that those that were coming and that they were following. They were following after all these false religions. They said they had the word, but the word was cast aside. And they followed all manner of false prophets. My friend, is that not true today? Never mind, when you look at what Jeremiah is speaking about here, he's speaking about a nation, but he's speaking about the church. And we can say that about the church today, can't you? Don't speak about just about the world out there, speak about the church. The church is rife with this. It's the church that has fallen away. It's the church that has false prophets, imagining all vain imaginations. Jeremiah saw it coming. And I think we should have seen it coming. We should see it coming. Because the result is, if there is, first of all, an irrational, if it's totally irrational, and it's the cause is that they followed false religion, what was the result? Well, the result was judgment. Judgment. You look down all that is said before this, how they are all that will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, there are no figs on the tree. The leaf shall fade. They will assemble themselves and all the rest of it. Look at all the judgments that were to come upon Jerusalem. Now, Jeremiah's seeing these judgments as mere symptoms. They were symptoms of a deeper problem. And you know, when we see all that's going on today with the coronavirus and everything, it's just a symptom. There are deeper problems that we have as a nation. And they are spiritual problems. What was going to happen to Jerusalem was there were spiritual problems. And they had nowhere to turn. They had nowhere to go to. Would they go to the sun, the moon and the stars? The very bones out of the graves. You know, it's wonderful when the Lord does somehow. Ironic he is, isn't it? The graves would be opened up. The bones of the kings and all these would be spread in front of the moon, the sun, the moon and the stars. It's as though God is mocking. He that sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall scorn them all. It's as though the Lord is... Well, the bones are out there. Think of Hezekiah once again. Hezekiah in the palace, he was the king. My friend, his whole household would be filled with advisors. Filled with advisors. Every room he would go into, he would just need to snap his fingers and there would be advisors coming to him, running at his beck and call. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Boris Johnson, today, one of half the advisors that Hezekiah has. But when Hezekiah was told that he was going to die, an impossible situation confronted him. What did he do? Did he call the advisors? He turned his head to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. He knew where the answer to the problem was to be found. It was in the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if it, as it was in the World War, in the World War II, was it the King called for our nation to a day of humiliation and prayer? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Her Majesty the Queen called our nation to such a day where our nation would humble itself and come before the Lord in prayer? There's no word of that today. You have all these advisors, and they are clever men, and they are doing their best. We have no doubt whatsoever. They are doing their best, and they are seeking to the best for our nation. They are seeking to cure this people of this, to make sure that people don't die. We should commend them. But my friend, that's not what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. That's what this nation needs. That's what this nation needs today. Jeremiah is lamenting the fact that when this judgment comes, they run into their cities, they go into their defense cities, and they sit in silence there. Look at what it says in verse 34. They run into their defense cities and they let us be silent there. My friend, it's because they don't know the Lord. It's because they don't know the place of prayer. True prayer. Jeremiah says the cry is the harvest is finished, the summer is ended, and yet we're not saved. Still, this judgment is there. Still there are judgments abroad. Is there no balm? Is there no cure? Jeremiah says there is a cure. There is balm in Gilead. There is a balm. There is a physician. The problem is, they will not turn to that balm. They will not turn to that physician. And what's true of Israel in the day of that Jeremiah sees coming upon them is true of our nation today. Is it because there is no cure that not just putting a dealing with the coronavirus, which is a symptom of all sorts of things, but actually going to the root, coming to the Lord in repentance, seeking the Lord's face in repentance, calling upon Him, that the greater problem, the problem of sin, we perhaps wonder today, you know, when Jeremiah comes to the Lord's people there and says, he asks a question. And then they ask a question. They seek the Lord. But when they seek the Lord, they blame the Lord for it. Where is the Lord? Is the Lord in Jerusalem? Is the Lord in Zion? You see, they're not seeking Him. They blame Him for all this. Where is God allowing this? Why is God allowing this to happen? Instead of seeking Him, they blame Him. Is He in Zion? Well, Jeremiah says, yes, the Lord doth reign in Zion. He that sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall scorn them all. He will say to His Son, kiss the Son, lest in His ire you perish from the way. Jeremiah says, yes, there is a physician. Yes, there is a balm. Yes, the King is in Jerusalem. What's the problem? The problem is they would not seek Him. The problem is not with God. The problem is with man. The problem is that man will not call upon the name of the Lord. Well then, Jeremiah's voice comes in verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black with astonishment. It has taken hold. My friend, have we really, has the situation and the state of our nation really gripped the hearts of God's people? Has it really? We lament today that our people may die, some people may die because of the coronavirus. Does that really grip your heart? Does that really, as God's people, are you able to say, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt? He was truly concerned. Because God's judgment was coming upon Jerusalem. And they were estranged from God. Well, my friend, if it's the case that we are concerned for people with the coronavirus as we should be, then are we also concerned about the gospel and the things of the gospel, how our nation has turned aside from God? They have departed from the living God? Is that a burden upon our souls? Are we weeping for the state of the church? Are we weeping for the state of God's house? Are we weeping for God's people? The sinners are leaving this world and entering in to hell and to a lost eternity. My friend, Jeremiah was awakened to the needs of his people and to the danger of his people. And he was the weeping prophet. And if Jeremiah in his own day had reason to weep for Jerusalem, then my friend, we today have reason to weep for our nation and for our people, and to cry out for those who will not cry out for themselves, to pray for them who will not pray for themselves, that we would pray that the Lord in the midst of it would be merciful. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy to us this day. We pray that thou, Lord, would have mercy upon our nation. We pray that even as thy judgments are abroad at this time, that there would be those who would be stopped in their way. Having fallen down, they would pick themselves up. Having taken wrong courses, they would go back to where the Lord was blessing our nation. That thou, Lord, would not have us to be as the horse that races into the midst of the battle in ignorance. But, O Lord, may we seek that wisdom which is from above, the wisdom which is from thyself. Bless us now. Pardon us all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Singing in Psalm 124, the tune is St. Andrew. The first version of the psalm, Psalm 124. Psalm 124, the first version of the psalm. Had not the Lord been on our side, may Israel now say, had not the Lord been on our side when men rose us to slay, they had us swallowed quick when as their wrath against us did frame. Waters had covered us, our soul had sunk beneath the stream. And so on, singing the whole of this psalm to the Lord's praise, Psalm 124, the tune of St. Andrew, had not the Lord been on our side.
Had not the Lord been on our side,
they have us.
following are the intimations, they are God willing. The service this evening will be here at 6:30. Now, you will notice the statement that has been issued by the Kirk Session. Kirk Session have had to take into account the circumstances in which we find ourselves in today. And I am aware that there are different views within the congregation as to what the session should do about this. There are those that would say that the session should have closed the services before now. There are others who say that we shouldn't close the service at all. Now, the session has taken the view that the church shouldn't be the first to close. But by the same token, the church can't ignore the situation that is currently prevailing. The church shouldn't be the first to close. There are shops and everything still open. John Lewis is going to close tomorrow. There are restaurants and hotels that are still open and are closing pretty well this weekend. The schools closed on Friday. Well, they're not closed, they're still open, but close to some pupils on Friday. We did not believe that it is the right thing for a church to be the first to close. But by the same token, the government has this past week asked churches not to have services. Now, we ask the government continually with regards to, for example, abortion, that they should honour life. They should seek to preserve life. And we feel that it would be unwise and irresponsible of us not to take the advice that the government is now giving, if they are seeking, as we believe they are seeking to preserve life. So the session has agreed that we will not stop the services. If it was stopping the services, then I for one would not be in favour. I would just say to people, especially vulnerable people, should not be coming out, and we would continue the services. But there are other means by which we can keep the services going. And we have the means through Zoom to do that. It means that those with computers can get into the service. Those with telephones, they telephone the number, any of the numbers that's on the statement, and then you'll be asked to enter an ID number. You put that in, and that gets you in as well. It will not cost you anything because it's a local call, and most places have free evening and weekends. And the services themselves on the Thursday evening and on the Lord's Day at 11 and 6:30, we will seek to keep to within the hour, so that those who come in by phone, it should not cost you anything if you have free evening and weekend calls. So we do hope to continue the services, and we hope to be back in this building as soon as we can. Indeed, if we can get internet access in here, then the services may in fact be broadcast from here, even if I come down myself and just broadcast it from here so that it goes out as a live stream. We will see that in the next week or so. But in the meantime, we would encourage everyone to come into the service. As in the statement, it is very easy to get in, and we will hold the services online. We pray for those who are vulnerable. There are vulnerable people in our congregation. There are people that are elderly people. There are people that have had, for example, cancer and have had treatment. They have been advised not to come to the services, and we fully understand that. And ultimately, we would be doing a disservice to those who can't come out if we were not providing some means of getting them into the service as well. So the Zoom is a means of not only helping all of us here, but also those who can't get out. Now, the service is open to everyone, not just our own congregation. Anybody that wants to come in, you're welcome to come in and to join with us on Thursday night at 7:30 and on the Lord's Day at 11 and 6:30. I will also point out that there's a denominational prayer meeting going to be held tomorrow evening at 7:00. And again, you come in with the same number and the same meeting ID, and that will take you in to the denominational prayer meeting. And again, that's open not just to our own people, not just to elders and ministers and elders, but to everyone, and even those outside of our denomination. I know that there are some people coming into it who don't come to our denomination. So if you're here, and you're welcome to come into that and join the denominational prayer meeting. Pray, because that's what's needed just now, prayer, that the Lord would hear the prayers of his people. And again, you can get into that. It should be free if you've got evening and weekend. Just you've got a phone. If you pick up the phone as well, put it onto loudspeaker so that you don't have to sit with the earpiece to your face all the time. Most phones have a loudspeaker thing. So you just press the loudspeaker and make sure that's on, and you're in, and you can sit at home and listen to the services. And we pray that this time will be over as quickly as possible, so that we can be back in here having a witness once again. You'll notice as well that all other meetings have been cancelled. Our communion in May has been cancelled, and fellowships have been cancelled. The reading group has been cancelled. The ladies' group has been cancelled. This is simply on the advice of the government, and it would be foolish of us not to take that advice and be seen to have the care for, because it's not only that maybe nobody in here would get it, maybe nobody in here would die of it, but if you're in here and you get it in here and you go out into the community, then you're taking it out into the community and someone else might die of it. So we want to try and avoid that if we can. These are all the intimations that, God willing, will conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.